So newsflash, it is important to exercise. I know that. My mind knows that. My body knows that. But somehow, neither of the two of them can agree on the fact that I should actually do it. Okay? My life is filled with tragic stories of short-lived attempts to lift weights, to run, to swim, to do push-ups, to climb a flight of stairs without collapsing at the top. There's all sorts of history there with me and my losing battle against exercising consistently. My brother Ryan is famous for his failures in this area as well, but his failures have cost him a fortune because I'm pretty sure he has purchased every fitness-related infomercial product known to man. The ab roller, the abdominizer, the push-up pro, the gazelle, the Taibo. I mean, well, that was a video series, but whatever. He's had them all. But neither one of us, my brother nor I, despite all our knowledge and all our helps, has been able to work out for more than a week before it sputtered and died. It's just the nature of my life. I lacked the will to push through and make it a regular part of my life, at least until the next time that I got convicted and started it up again. And sadly, there have been times in my life where prayer has been the exact same way for me. There's been times in my life where I know how important it is. It was critical to my spiritual growth and development, and yet I still didn't do it consistently the way I should. For whatever reason or for whatever excuse I gave, too busy, I forgot, I was too lazy, all it came down to was the simple fact that for that period of time, I had lived a prayerless life, and it was not good. Maybe some of you can relate to me. Maybe some of you have been in similar situations with regard to your prayer lives or gone through similar periods where prayer was an afterthought instead of your first thought, where you spent days or maybe weeks without spending meaningful time with Jesus. Maybe for some of you, despite the 21 days of prayer and fasting that we're focusing on this month, maybe some of you are going through that type of experience right now. Maybe you've never been consistent with regard to prayer in your life. And I don't think I need to spend a ton of time this morning convincing you of the importance of prayer. I think we all know how important prayer is. It's our way of communicating with God. It's the means to move the hand of God, to release God's power, to work in our lives and our situations. It's one of God's ways of communicating to us. So prayer is vitally important. Prayer is critical to our faith story. We can't have a solid faith in Jesus without prayer. Some may say that what we call answers to prayer are only coincidences. I've heard that a lot. As I talk about how God answers prayer and I give examples, they say, well, that's just coincidence. But isn't it amazing how many coincidences occur when we begin to pray? When we begin to call on God in faith, it's amazing how many of these quote-unquote coincidences seem to happen. Right after Melissa and I got married, we moved from the Chicago area to Arizona, and we packed up the moving truck and drove across the country to begin our lives together, and we got there, and we didn't have our apartment ready yet, so we stayed with the pastor for a few days of the church that we were youth pastors at. So we stayed at his house, and we parked our moving truck in the church parking lot while we were waiting for our apartment to be ready. Well, the next morning after we got there, we got woken up by pastor. He knocked on our door and came in and told us that the moving van had been broken into. And so we went over to the church and found out that the moving van was actually gone. It had been stolen. The trailer that we had towed had been broken into, and our furniture was just basically strewn about all over the parking lot. And the rider truck that we had rented and packed our entire lives into, including all of our wedding gifts, everything, had been driven away. So our whole life, it's like you, like somebody stole your house, only you packed it all up for them. and so needless to say, we were pretty devastated at that point. We didn't know what we were going to do. And so pastor got the church praying. Well, we had one of the older ladies in the church, just a real prayer warrior. She just got started praying, and she said she was praying, God, if they touch anything on that truck, let it burn their hands. That was her prayer. I like that prayer. And then the church receptionist, her name was Linda. Linda was praying that all the tires would blow out and they wouldn't be able to drive it. They would have to just abandon their efforts to steal the truck. So these people were all praying these like crazy aggressive, like get them God prayers, you know? Well, we went for a couple days and hadn't heard anything yet and still didn't have our stuff. Well, we get a report that the truck had been found abandoned out on Highway 60 out into the Superstition Mountains. They were thinking that they were going to drive it out to one of the Native American reservations out there and get rid of it. And they had abandoned it on the side of the road, and it had now been impounded at a police impound lot. And this was on a Saturday night we got that call. Well, the impound lot is closed on Sunday, so we can't even go over there and look. So we have to wait until Monday now. So we're just like sweating bullets thinking we don't know if we're going to get our stuff back. We don't know if it's filled with destroyed items or whether it's empty, whether they just took everything and all we have is a truck. So we go to the police impound lot on Monday morning, and we drive in there. And needless to say, Melissa and I have been praying a little bit ourselves during this time as well, asking God that we could get our stuff back. Well, we get to the impound lot and we throw open the back of the truck, and everything is exactly as we have left it. Like nothing has moved. Well, the police tell the story that when they found the truck, the back of it was open. It had been lifted up. And the only thing, that my guitar case was out sitting on the road behind the truck. Then they said that the reason the truck had been abandoned is the truck had fishtailed and the rear axle had collided with the front end of a guardrail, and it just like cracked the axle and blew out all four tires. Don't get too excited. It's a coincidence. And I like to think that my guitar was sitting on the back because it was too hot to handle. That's just my thought. But, I mean, they took nothing. They abandoned the truck, drove away in their, you know, chase car or whatever, and they got out of there and left everything just as it was. And, guys, I just want to tell you, no one is going to tell me that the answers we received were mere coincidences. No one is going to tell me that. Specific prayers were prayed, and God brought specific answers to our specific prayers. And let me tell you, that was a huge, well, it was a huge stressful time for those few days, but it was a huge faith-building time for Melissa and for me and for our new church. Because here's the thing, prayer is the key to unlocking God's power to work in your life. Prayer is the key to unlocking God's power to work in your life. If you are living a prayerless life, you are living a life void of the power that God wants to share with you. Every day this week, we prayed together on Facebook Live, and it's just been awesome. Please continue to join us. And each morning, we give a prayer focus for that day, what we're going to be praying about for that day as a church. Focus is really important. You may pray. You may pray once in a while or when the need is truly great or before you eat a meal or as you're falling asleep. But when you pray with focus, focus adds intensity. You know, sunny days here in the Metroplex can get warm. Even in the winter, it can get warm. The other day, I was walking out in the sun. I'm like, man, it's hot. It's January. What's the story? But imagine the perfect March afternoon, okay? Cloudless day, maybe low 80s. Ever so slight breeze blowing. It's just perfect. It's fantastic. Then, in the middle of that perfection, take a magnifying glass and hold it about 3 inches above your hand between your hand and the sun. Okay? And about 5 to 10 seconds, you would realize there is a difference when there is focus. What was nice and warm and perfect is now painful and hot. There is intensity, there is energy, there is power when there is focus. And I want to look at an example from Scripture of someone who had a focus on prayer. Normally, when we want to look at an example for anything about how to live our lives and the spiritual disciplines, we look to Jesus. But today I want to go back to an Old Testament example of someone who had an incredible focus on prayer. And we're going to look at Exodus 17 and read the story of Moses praying, verses 8 through 13. And this is the story. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arms soon became so tired he could no longer hold them up, so Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. Then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset, and as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. Now, wasn't that prayer that Moses prayed a great prayer? It's interesting, isn't it? What I want you to see here is that God doesn't tell us a thing about what Moses prayed. We have no idea what Moses prayed. We have no idea the words he used, the phrases he used, what he prayed about. So we're not going to look at Moses as an example of what to pray. Actually, next week, we're going to take a look at what we should pray. But instead, this is an incredible example of how we should pray. The circumstances surrounding his prayer life, the focus that Moses maintained on prayer. And I think too many times we get hung up on the words we say or we don't know what to pray about when God is more concerned with you spending time with him than the words that we're using. When it comes to prayer, God cares more about your willingness than he does about your words. And I think for some of us, this is a huge area of resistance for us, is we hear other people pray when we're together in church or in our neighborhood group or with friends, and we hear people pray, and there are these flowing and eloquent prayers, and we're like, well, I don't pray like that, so I just give up. I quit. But guys, I want to challenge you today. God is not concerned with the words that you use when you pray. He wants to hear your heart. He wants your willingness. He wants time with you. And I truly believe that a focused prayer life will change you. It will change your family. It will change your job. It will change our church. It will change our world. And it begins with a connection with God through Jesus, and it is magnified through a focused prayer life. So let's look at Moses this morning and see what we can learn from his example. And the first thing I want you to see is that Moses planned to pray. He planned to pray. He told them, he says, hey, tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill. Tomorrow I am going up to pray. It was planned. It was scheduled. He didn't wait until he got in trouble to pray. And you say, wait a minute, Jeff, they were in a war. How is he not in trouble? Yes, but he didn't wait until the battle was going badly to start praying. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up there and pray. And if them being in a war justified him going to prayer, let me remind you of this verse, church, in Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Church, we are at war. We are in a war, and it's not going to end until Jesus comes back to end it once and for all. So we've got plenty of reason to pray, every one of us, to schedule, to plan, to prepare, to pray, because we are in a battle. And part of the discipline of prayer is making the decision to do it and then planning to do it. Especially in our hectic, schedule-driven culture, if we don't schedule time for God, he will end up with nothing. If you don't schedule time for God, he will get nothing. God should be placed onto our schedules first, and then we should fill in the rest. Maybe some of you have seen the illustration where you have some sand, you have some small rocks and some big rocks, and you need to put them all in a jar. And this is an example. The same amount of items is in both of those jars. The difference is that in the first jar, they put the sand in first, then the small rocks, then the big rocks. In the jar on the right, they put the big rocks in first, then the little rocks, and then they allowed the sand to fall down and fill in what was left. And there was more room at the end. That's how we need to prioritize our lives. We need to schedule the big rocks first, the things that really matter, the things that are going to make a difference beyond this lifetime. Then let the other stuff fill in the gaps. Plan your prayer times and schedule God in first. Now, I love to go out on dates with Melissa. The problem is there are times that we don't. Why? Because we don't schedule it. Guess what? Dates don't just randomly happen when you have 3 jobs and 6 kids. You don't randomly get date nights. I know we have this romantic notion that we shouldn't have to schedule our time together, but when we don't, it doesn't happen. It's not unromantic for me to schedule time with Melissa. It's prioritizing time with Melissa for me to schedule her. And we have the same in our lives here. We have the same romanticized concept of prayer. We have this notion that scheduling our prayer times is unspiritual or something. Like if I put God into a schedule, or if I make sure that I prioritize that time, that prayer should just happen. And yes, there are times where prayer does just happen. But if we don't schedule that time, it's not unspiritual at all to do that. It shows the value that we place on it. It's the first part of a focused prayer life. And the next thing I want you to see about Moses' prayer life, after we plan, after we schedule, and after we prioritize it, the next thing I want you to see is that Moses didn't stop with planning to pray. He followed through. The next day, he was on top of the hill. The next day, he was up there praying. How many times have you heard someone else or found yourself using these words? Man, I'll be praying for you. I'll make sure to pray for you about that. Sad to say it, but those are some of the biggest lies that Christians tell. Not to say we don't genuinely intend to pray in that moment, but somewhere between I'll be praying for you and goodbye, it's gone. And never do we take that to God. And it is so important to follow through on that. Why? Because prayer works. And if we tell somebody we're going to pray for them, we better well do it. And if we believe that prayer is important, and we do, then we need to maintain that focus on promised prayers. You know what I found to be the best way to make sure that you pray for someone when you say you will? Pray now. Pray now. If somebody has a need and they bring it to me, hey, Pastor Jeff, will you be praying about this? I will stop, unless there's like something catastrophic, that there's a big reason that I can't. I will stop right there and say, yes, I will, but let's pray about that right now. And we stop and we pray. You know, growing up, you learned fire safety. You know, if you catch fire, what are you supposed to do? There it is. Everybody knows it. Guys, when somebody brings a request to you, you should stop, drop, and pray. Okay? You guys need to immediately just take it to God in prayer. The other thing that helps tremendously is to write it down. Write it down. Keep a prayer journal. Write down your prayer requests. Write down your prayer needs. Write down answers to prayer. Occasionally write out a script of prayer to God. Write down scriptures that God uses to speak to you. If you don't want to carry around one of these, then use Evernote. It's a free app. It goes on your phone. You can have a lifetime of prayer journaling carried around with you in your pocket. So everybody should be journaling your times with God. It helps us to remember. It helps us to stay focused. It helps us to have a plan when we pray. And here's another thing that we can learn from Moses' example here in Exodus. He prayed regardless of circumstances. He prayed in both good times and in bad. We see Moses praying, okay? That's what we have. He's praying. And then he starts to get tired. Things are going pretty well. We've got this battle pretty well in hand. I'll take a breather here. Go and sit down, drop the staff. Bam, the tide of the battle starts to turn and the Amalekites start to win. He learned his lesson. He didn't stop from that point forward. Now he's in. Moses didn't pray based on his circumstances. His prayers defined his circumstances. Moses didn't pray based on his circumstances. His prayers defined his circumstances. Just because things may be going well in your life doesn't mean we can relax our prayer focus. You know, churches were filled with people praying after 9/11. It was decade records for church attendance, for people coming to prayer meetings after 9/11. We have no problem praying when crisis arrives or tragedy occurs. And we should turn to God in those times. There's no question. But for some reason, we relax when things are going well. And this is not unique to us. It's not unique to American Christianity. Look at the history of Israel. It's like a sine wave. Things are going well, they ignore God, then things start to go not so well, then they hit bottom, they're like, maybe we should turn back to God, then things go well again, and it just repeats again and again and again. It's the human condition. When things are going well, we need to maintain our focus and pray that God will keep them going well. And Acts 1:14 tells us the attitude of the early church with regard to prayer. Acts 1:14 says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. Guys, to me, that is one of the foundations of a church, is you pray together. You agree together in unity for God's will to be done in your lives, in your church, and in your community. And we need to do that, which leads us to the next thing we observe from Moses' prayer life, is that Moses prioritized praying with others. He wasn't up there alone. He took Aaron and Hur up with him to the top of the mountain. He prioritized praying with others. He had others there with him to pray. He didn't want to just pray with others. He knew he needed to pray with others. They prayed with him. They kept him accountable. When Moses got tired, they lifted his arms for him. They kept him going. Guys, that is a description of the role we need to play in one another's lives with regard to our faith. When things get tough, when we get tired, we need people to hold us accountable. We need people to lift our arms up spiritually and to encourage us. That's part of the reason the church exists, the body of Christ, is to encourage one another, to keep one another going on the right path. Back to my fitness example in the beginning. One of the ways you can stay on track with a fitness regimen, whether it be weightlifting, running, walking, anything else, is to get someone to train with you. The few times in my life where I've had moderate success and I've had that going for a while, it's because I had accountability. I had somebody who was asking me, are you doing it? I had somebody who was going with me. I had somebody who was helping me, alongside me. Not just knowing that the other person is going to be there makes a difference. And we'll know if you're not doing it, that's just extra incentive. You feed off one another's energy. You complement one another's weaknesses. When I ran cross country in high school, and you guys have heard that story. I'm not going to go into that. I was not great. But when I ran cross country in high school, one of the things that our coaches talked to us all the time about was running as a pack, that you run together with your teammates. This is not an individual sport. Cross country is a team sport, and running together makes a huge difference. I should probably have you come up and just teach this for me, but that's okay. We all need someone in our lives that we meet together with regularly for accountability and with prayer, because we need to spiritually run as a pack. We need to encourage one another. When we start to drift, we can see those alongside us encourage us and motivate us and keep us going. God brought us together as a church family for just that reason, to help one another, that there's no man left behind. No one falls by the wayside. We speak into one another's lives. When we see somebody veering off course, we pull them back on course. We help people to make it. And prayer is absolutely critical for that. And here's the thing. Here's another reason that praying together with others makes such a huge difference. Matthew 18 tells us, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. This is Jesus teaching on prayer. This is why I make such a big deal about our Trilogy prayer service. That's why I make such a big deal about that and why I talk about it all the time. This needs to be a priority in your life. There is power in praying together. There is accountability. We learn discipline. We grow as a church. We grow as individuals. We just read Matthew 18, and God has declared that there is something different about praying together. There's something different about being in unity with other Christ followers. There is a greater level of spiritual response when we agree together in prayer, and it's not just a solo activity. And if you call Trilogy your church home, you need to be a part of our monthly prayer services. As we set aside time for these 21 days of prayer, make a commitment to come pray with your church family from 7 to 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night every month. This month, it's the 22nd. I would love to run out of room in my downstairs because everybody in the church shows up for that night. This past week, I had a pastor friend of mine reach out to me. I shared this on one of the video times this week. I had a pastor friend reach out to me, and he pastors a church in another state. And his wife just walked out on him and their children and was driving across the country to meet another man that she had met online. And he was just devastated. And he began to pray, and he called on people to pray that God would get a hold of her and turn her around. And he was praying that she wouldn't even, she was driving all the way across the country to New York. And he said, his prayer was that she wouldn't make it there, that God would stop her car somehow. And we began to pray, and he updated us. She was trapped in Albuquerque, I think it was, with a major snowstorm and couldn't get out. So God is already moving. But guys, we need to join with him in praying for restoration. And I'd like us to just take a moment this morning and practice what I'm talking about and agreeing together in prayer in praying for this pastor and his family. So would you bow your heads with me, and let's join our hearts together and pray in unity and agree together for God to bring restoration to his family. God, we come to you this morning as a church and we as fellow believers in Christ, and we come together right now, and we join our hearts and join our faith, and we pray in agreement today for this pastor and for his family. God, we pray that you would bring restoration to his family. God, I pray that you would bring his spouse home. God, that you would change her mind, that you would change her heart, that God, whatever is leading her in that direction, God, you would bring her back. God, that her kids would understand and forgive, that her husband would understand and forgive, and God, you would bring restoration, miraculous restoration to their family. God, I pray for him this morning as he shares the circumstances with his church. God, as he tells them what is happening and what he's going through and asks them to pray, God, would you give him favor with his church today? And God, I pray that you would just join our hearts with his. And God, continue to remind us to pray, to continue to call on you. And God, that we would see this family restored, that this church would thrive under his leadership. And God, you would bring healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. The final thing we see about Moses and his prayer example here is that Moses prayed until he saw the answer. He got tired. Did he stop? Did he say he would pray again some other time? No, he kept praying. He made that mistake once and wouldn't go down that road again. It says, so his hands held steady until sunset, and as a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. He prayed until the battle was over. He prayed until they had victory. Some of you have stopped praying for big needs in your life. You stopped because you didn't get an answer in your time frame. You didn't pray until you saw the victory. And I know you've heard me share the story a lot, so I'm not going to share the whole story, but it was such a formative experience in my life. It changed the way I look at prayer forever, in that I prayed for my dad for over 20 years to come to faith in Christ. And at the end of his life, lying in a hospital bed, he gave his heart to Jesus under miraculous circumstances. And I fully believe that God was answering my consistent and persistent prayers over 20 years for my dad. God answered. I never stopped praying. And as the worship team comes, I want to finish up with one more example from Moses' prayer life here. I believe God's power is released in the lives of people who pray. When we pray, God's power is released in the lives of people who pray. But so many times, guys, we settle for less, don't we? We settle for less. We walk around with our hands in our pockets declaring that we can make it on our own. We can handle it. Guys, stop. Lift your hands to God. Cry out for his help, because he can't wait to respond to his children who call on him. Prayerless people cut themselves off from God's power. And this leads to the familiar feeling that way too many of us know of being overwhelmed, overrun, beaten down, pushed around, and defeated. Too many people, too many Christians are willing to settle for lives like this. Don't be one of those because you don't have to. A focused prayer life is essential to having God's power at work in your life. A focused prayer life is essential to having God's power at work in your life. Can you imagine what it could be like if every one of us renewed our commitment to focus on prayer? That we turn the calendars, as we turn the calendars into 2019, that we begin to call out to God like the Bible tells us we should be calling out to God. That we become desperate prayers. That we become passionate prayers. That we become focused prayers. And we pray together in unity. This could be a year both in your life and in Trilogy like you have never seen before. Let's begin to schedule our times with God to prioritize that. Let's follow through and actually use that time to pray. Let's not let our circumstances change our prayer focus. Let's let our prayer lives define our circumstances. And let's invite others to be a part of our prayer story that we would join together. And let's pray until we see the answer. Let's make this year the most extraordinary year that we have ever experienced, and all due to our focus on prayer. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?